If you want to have relationships, realize it's not always up to you. So much that we are into in our ego or our adult depends on the good rational self-talk we have. And that's a whole big issue.
Welcome to the Heart Leader Podcast. I'm Amber Mikesa.
And I'm Austin Yule.
We are here to invite you into a new era of leadership.
Join us as we dive deep into stories of powerful transformation, unlocked through self-love, compassion,
and insights on healing the body and soul by blending science and spiritual wisdom.
Start leading from the heart today. Visit theheartleaderpodcast.com.
Hi, and welcome to the Heart Leader Podcast. I'm your host, Amber, and today I am joined by two amazing individuals. I have Austin right here with me, and we are going to talk with Dr. Jerry Heisler, who is a senior clinical psychologist with over 40 years of frontline clinical experience as a psychotherapist, an assistant professor, and a marital therapist, which is why Austin and I are doing this together. He's actually written an amazing book called Relationship Bootcamp. You and I are going through Relationship Bootcamp today.
Yikes. That's great.
Jerry, thank you for being here, for being willing to walk Austin and I through some of the amazing examples that you have in your book to help relationships. And one of the first questions and one of the first things I want to talk about is, when you say relationships, do you mean only partnership relationships, or can this book help across relationships in general?
The book is really centered on relationships in the sense of having a partnership. I mean, that's the sense of the book. I think if we started to define relationship, I mean, some people are closer to their animal pets, or even, I say one of the ways to deal with depression is have something in your life that you love. And if it's not a person, get a pet. If you can't get a pet, get a plant. So you guys have proficiency boot camp. I mean, you're so far ahead of the curve that the kind of things we're going to talk about, you guys have mastered. Mm-hmm. So much that is in the book is really looking over a therapist's shoulder. And people resonate to that. There's a lot of case scenarios. What the book gets into in the first part of boot camp is we have to really understand, and in this way, we have to use what I would call our adult sense, what some people might say their ego, that we use our adults to really realize what satisfies us. And that's the first months in relationship boot camp. You start to identify the difference between what you need, what you want, what you're satisfied with, what you settle for, and what you choose. Now, you might think, oh, I need a relationship. And most people can exist without a relationship. They live on. We need food, air, and water. What we want is the ideal. A lot of people talk about, this is what I want in a relationship. And we typically all want the same things. It's obviously what you guys have found. Someone that's of your partners, you find them attractive. You trust each other. The ideal is you want someone you could laugh with, be sexually compatible with when the time is right. But there's universalities in what people usually want. That really doesn't matter, because that's the ideal. What really matters is what satisfies us. And that's what we have to really take some time to slow down and realize through experience, what is it that satisfies me? Because you might think, well, I really think that will satisfy me until you have it. For example, a person, there's some men who want a woman that's sexually responsive until they have a woman that's sexually responsive. And she wants to do it more than he does. And so I've had male patients say to me, I hope she doesn't wake up in the middle of the night because I don't find this satisfying. So over time, you start to recognize, hey, this satisfies me and this is really important, until you know what satisfies you. What a lot of people want is what's a challenge, what's hard to get. And that turns them on.
So if someone's in that position where it's like, oh, I want that until I get that, what would you say to them once they have it? And then they go, I don't want that anymore, because now they're engaged with another person. It's not like just take it and say, oh, I'm just going to donate this to Goodwill or to a local shelter. It's like it's something deeper than that. We're talking about another person that we're now engaged with. So what do you do in that case?
Well, what that person ends up doing, and I know we're very concerned about heart hurt and how to protect people's heart. And this person's going to hurt that person because for whatever reason, they think they're in love, or they may love that person until they actually are in control. The person in control of a relationship is the one who cares the least. And so once this person has this person that was a challenge, it was hard to get. But now this person says, I'm yours. And they go, gee, I'm not that interested anymore. Well, that's heart hurt. That wasn't a safe person to be involved with. How do you know that? Boy, Amber and Austin, one of the things I'll say about relationships is they become very clear over time. And sometimes, like the Who have a lyric, I won't get fooled again. Well, I got fooled again. And that's why I really recommend if you're considering a relationship, and I haven't followed my own advice at times, by the way, but know a person 2 years before you really seriously consider a lasting commitment. For example, a marriage. Know that person for a long period of time. So hopefully you don't get fooled again.
I have found that to be good advice. So I would align with that. Is this the type of stuff that you've written about in your book, Relationship Bootcamp? Can you walk through some of the, I know that there's clinical studies, there's lots of information in your book. Can you give us just a high level overview?
Well, like I said, it's a lot of people like that you're looking over a therapist's shoulder. And it gets into, well, how do I establish a relationship? So how do I know what satisfies me? How do I know if I'm even ready to date? There's a whole checklist. Are you ready to date? Because, for example, if you don't really like yourself, if you don't think anyone who gets close to you can maintain a relationship with you, if you think if someone gets close to you, they're going to dump you, so I need to keep people away from me, you're not ready to be in a relationship. If you're still talking about your ex, you're not ready to be in a relationship. And there's a whole checklist about this. Part of what the book gets into is, how do I know if I'm in love, or is it maybe love, or is it love, or is it just lust? We get into what's very important is sections about compatibility. There's so many areas of compatibility, and this gives you checklists. And I think you guys might have been exposed to that, sent you some materials where you've recognized some of the checklists. And if people face things they usually sometimes don't face. It's a non-BS book. It's a meat and potatoes book. Some people have told me there's so much material here. You could have made it into 20 books. You could have taken one of your chapters and just made a book out of it. Because it's, I guess you would say, there's a lot of information in there. And you're nodding your head. So what have you found?
So as... thankfully, you sent me a copy in advance, and it was wonderful to read through all of the different practices because, yes, it allows you to take a step back and look at it more from an observer view of the relationship versus, okay, I'm in this and I need to, so often in relationships, it's, I need to dominate this, or I need to prove my point, or I'm not going to be heard. Where if you take a step back out of it and you look at it like a living thing, a relationship is a living exchange, and you provide tools to look at it. And when you have case studies, then you're looking at someone else's relationship, and then you can look at it. Oh, how is this applying to my own? And how am I navigating something similar? And do I see myself in this? And it allows you to have more of a connection of, oh, okay, I can grow here too. And talking about ego, you know, it humbles you a bit because you can see yourself and what someone else is doing and go, oh, okay, if it didn't work for them, maybe it's not going to work for me either. And maybe I could use to grow here.
Well, Amber is so articulate. I should have had her as a co-author. she can say it better than I can. Yes, I think it really gives a person a chance to step back. You know, importantly, just take a deep breath. I talk a lot about how do you contribute to your relationship issues? What's going on? If you're having failure, you know, perhaps you're doing some things. Perhaps you're being defensive. Perhaps you're choosing the wrong person for the wrong reason. So it gives people a lot to think about, a lot to consider. The boot camp begins with really some self-examination. A lot of people don't want to do is, what am I bringing to the table? One of my real important concepts is hopefully what you will enjoy in each other. As I watch you two together, it gives me such pleasure because you guys so obviously connect. You sit close to each other. You have some contact with each other. And so many of the couples that I would see when they would sit on a couch would be distant. They would not be smiling. They would not be in physical contact with each other. They basically have a hard time. They've gotten to that point where the relationship is kind of dead. It's stopped moving forward. It's such a pleasure, again, to see a couple that I think you guys probably, and I can ask you this, and in fact, we can do a little quiz.
Yes.
We can do some quizzes here. But the important concept is essence. Essence is what a blind person can appreciate about you. Hopefully in a relationship, what you'll care about in the other person is their essence. What a sight-impaired person can see. See, every time you guys look at each other, it makes me smile because it's heartwarming. Hopefully, when you have a partner, you can say, I know what their essence is. But really importantly, you know what your essence is. I cannot tell you the number of clients I had that I would say, what's your essence, after explaining what it is? And they'll sit there. And they'll sigh and they'll think, what can a blind person appreciate about me? And the kind of characteristics we're talking about is sense of humor or being smart, or, you know, it's devoid of the way you look, what kind of body you have, how you dress. And some people will hem and haw and they really can't come up with something. And until you feel, I've got something to offer here, you know, I've got a sense of humor, or I'm trustworthy, or I'm honest, I'm responsible. And there could be 100 things that your essence could be. But until you have some idea, that's the beginning of boot camp of, okay, if I'm devoid of this, how do I get in touch with myself enough that I can realize that I have some worth? And that's a complicated issue of, why is it I don't feel I have worth? What's going on in my life that I've gotten to whatever age it is we're asking this question? And the person is going, I'm not sure. Because what happens then, if you don't think you're worthy, if you feel you deserve punishment, you're going to self-sabotage. And if something good comes your way, you will mess it up. So that's not a good place to be. Now, I'm not going to ask because it'd be too embarrassing. You know, I could say, Austin, you know, tell me what Amber's essence is. That's very personal, or vice versa. But it may be something you would do later. Your volume is back.
Yeah, we had it muted because we had an airplane fly over and we didn't figure you wanted to hear that.
I thought I was going to have to deal with being hearing impaired.
One of your essences, right, is to be able to feel into what's being said.
Exactly.
You can ask us anything. We always say we are open. We are completely transparent. So,
well, it might be good modeling. You know, it's like for a couple, it's like, can you turn to each other and say, and this is what openness is. This is what makes a good relationship. This is why I smile when I have encounters with you guys, that most people will struggle with this. And I think, and that's why I don't want to put you on the spot of the people listening to this, though, who can try this at home, but give the person some time, prepare them for this. This isn't a pop quiz. But, and can you turn towards your partner and say, hey, I think this is your essence. And the other person says the same, because that's how we grow together. some couples, I'm sure you guys realize this, probably have never shared this. This is how I see your essence. That's very personal and can be very loving. When we talk about heart growth, things that will grow our heart. And if you feel comfortable modeling that, I say, go ahead.
Let's do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Walk us through it, doctor.
Okay. Just Amber, if you had to think about, and again, you guys may take some time to do this. Think about what is it about Austin that you appreciate, even if you were sight impaired. You can name one thing or several things. That'd be up to you.
Okay.
And here's where I want people to connect. One of my main points in dealing with couples is they don't look at each other anymore. And so when they would come in for therapy, they would talk about him, her, their. And I would say, no. The first thing we need to do is you guys need to talk to each other. First person, you, not him or her. And so when you make a very personal communication, and this is one of the ways we grow relationships in boot camp, is you look at, if you can do this, you look at Austin eye to eye and you say, Austin, I appreciate your essence, and you can name what it is.
Austin, I appreciate your essence in the depths of love that you exhibit through every action that you show, from the way that your touch makes me feel. Even when you hold my hand, I can feel how much you love me, to the way that when you notice little things that need to be done, that you step right in and you show support in the little actions as much as the big moments that need to be there. I feel your support in the mission we're carrying forward. I know that no matter what's happening in life, that we have each other.
And I would say, Austin, how does it make you feel when you hear that? And she's connecting with you and she's looking at you.
It makes you feel amazing. I mean, that's in the essence of this, you know, if I weren't able to see your smile and your beautiful eyes, I feel like I could feel them. That's how radiant you are when you speak to me, and I feel it in pretty much every moment, which makes my heart just absolutely sing. I'm really grateful.
Me too, babe.
See, Austin, you can, if you want to try the same thing of looking at Amber, and you might share, this is what I feel your essence is.
My love, I feel your essence when you share your amazing humor and then turn around and have an incredibly intelligent conversation that could be off the cuff, but it felt the way that you articulated it can come off like you've been thinking about it for a decade. And it's so amazing that we can have that, like you can be the silly and then the intellectual and the elegant and the fun and just the robustness of your beingness is such a delight in every way. And your capacity for unconditional love is to this day still inspiring. Like literally every day I see something new, something different, something greater in that capacity. And it reminds me every day of just how grateful I am and how lucky, and to be loved by you is a true gift.
See, that's wonderful.
I love you, baby.
I love you.
It's almost like after you witness this, you want to say, get a room.
We have one.
Well, you know, it's how people connect. And we talk about, well, how does a relationship grow? You take time. You know, what you guys are just did is you talked eye to eye. There's no television, computer, of course, we're doing this. But there's, you know, there's no telephone you're on. You're not looking at another screen, ironically, though we're doing this. But that's how people connect. You know, one of the things that struck me as you're doing that, you mentioned a word, touch. And we talk about, in the book, I expand on the languages of love. And here's another test that we can go through. Most people realize that there are five languages of love, and that's touch, words, time, service, and gifts. And here's another way to know if you're connecting with your partner. On the count of three, I'm going to ask Amber to say out loud what your language of love is. And at the same time, Austin, I want you to say out loud what you think Amber's language of love is. And again, we're talking about words, touch, gifts, time, and service. Okay? We understand what we want to do? Yeah. On the count of three, Amber will say it. And so will you. We'll see if we're on the same page. Okay, ready? One, two, three.
Service. Although I'm a tricky one because I tie between service and touch.
Okay. We'll do the same thing. You got it right. Okay. We'll do the same thing with Austin. What his language of love is on three. One, two, three. Speak.
Touch.
There you go. So you guys know each other well. You'd be surprised how many couples do not know each other well, which is one of the points of the book, is we have to communicate. And for that, we have to take time to communicate. Believe it or not, what I found is couples that regard themselves as good together, happy, will talk with each other without the television, without the phone, without some electronic, 28 minutes a week. We're not talking about a day, 28 minutes a week. So many people, as they listen to us, I'm challenging you. Do you really talk on a couch like Amber and Austin are, face to face, hold someone's hand, look at them, and talk to them? Do you do it? I bet most people, if they're honest, are going to say, well, I kind of like to, but we got to put the kids to bed, or I got this to do, or there's some excuse to make, and we're living on leftovers. And that's part of the problem that we get into relationally, that we need to make new meals and not just live on leftovers or the crumbs that are somehow left on the floor. We need to nurture what we're doing, and that's something that has to be proactive, planned, and we have to be adamant about it. And that's part of boot camp. You know, part of boot camp is that you got to be disciplined. You know, I know that Austin was a great golfer one time. That took a lot of discipline. I always like the Mark Twain line. It's a good walk spoiled. you got to be disciplined to do anything. But believe it or not, in relationships, just like in boot camp, you have to really focus, bear down, do things you don't want to do when you don't want to do them. And that's a big part of relationships, being sacrificial. I don't feel like doing this. I'm going to do what I don't feel like doing when I don't feel like doing it. And you know what? I can get through it. And that's what boot camp teaches you. You can get through it if you bear down and you're going to do something I don't like doing. I don't want to talk to my partner on the couch for 5 minutes a night. You know, I want to watch America's Got Talent, or there's something else I want to do. I mean, come on. And I want to check what's on my phone, or did I get any likes, on Meta, or, what's going on here? No, you take the time, and people can come up with 1,000 different reasons. And nope, takes discipline. Get yourself in boot camp.
Yeah. And what we've found through that is the more you practice it, the more you find the joy in doing. Like, it might seem as though, oh, I don't want to do this, but that's more the ego popping forward. Mm-hmm. And the moment I take a step back from what my ego is telling me, like, no, I want to stay in my own individual space, And I let go of that. And I'm, no, there's nothing to me that's more important right now than connecting with my partner and seeing how we move forward together. Then suddenly I find the joy in it. And we're creating new things together that I could have never done by myself. Mm-hmm. But I had to get past that hump first.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. You use the word ego. And, you know, that's comes from old psychoanalysis from Freud. And that's, you know, in my mind, at least, become fairly passe. It's been supplanted by, you know, more newer terms like ego is the adult, the superego is the parent, the id's the child. And the child, there's a good part. There's a rebellious child that gets us in trouble. But there's also the playful child. And I really encourage people to be able to play. If you can't play together as a couple, and that's another thing really encouraged in the book, be able to play, be able to have fun together. Now, some couples are challenged to have fun together. And that's going to be quite a task for some people is what can we enjoy together? I don't enjoy what you enjoy, you know, though they're a couple. And sometimes you do find opposites attract or people complement each other. And it'll take work, but there's some things usually most people like to laugh, find things you can find laughter in. And it's just really important for couples to look forward to having some time together. If you can make your partner smile during a day, and obviously you can. I mean, I see you guys smiling all the time here. If that could be one of your goals of, I just want to see this person smile. I want to be able to alleviate some of the tension that they have. I know it's not your responsibility. We're all responsible for each other. But we start understanding the importance of being able to be a child. We understand the importance of being an adult, of having a strong ego, of being able to evaluate what's around us. Who's a good person? Who's not a good person? Be able to look at some things objectively. Like one thing the book will confront you with is checklists where you have to use your ego, your adult. It faces questions, and a lot of people, frankly, aren't often focusing on these issues. It's a good thing to do if people are considering getting married as a premarital checklist. Maybe we need to talk about this. Because again, as you said, I want to be engaged in this marriage for a couple of years. And suddenly there's a deal breaker here. I didn't know you felt that way. I didn't know that you had those strong feelings about that. And so hopefully this is something that would also be preventative for lots of people.
And I love that approach because we are getting so preventive in our physical care and our mental care. But relationship care, that feeds into all of the others. So if we can start to be preventive in our relationship care, proactively looking forward and using tools like this, then we may be able to assist in our mental, emotional care and in our physical approaches because we're not stressed all the time and releasing all those stress hormones over relationship connections. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, I couldn't agree more. You know, people ask me at times, well, why did you write a relationship book? Because I really think relationships are very, very important. I worked in a psychiatric hospital, outpatient, but had contact with a lot of inpatient. And the main reasons people were committed or came into the hospital were romances and finances. Romances and finances failed. Relationships are really, really important for most people. Those who don't have one want to get one. Those who have one want to grow them and maintain them. So the book really focuses on, like I said, these checklists, which walk you through all sorts of compatibility issues. For example, what temperature do you want to sleep in? There's a lot of discourse that people have and discord because typically, I want it hot, I want it cold. What do we do about that? You guys are smiling about that. You're relating to this.
Yeah, we have to, a little plug, and we have nothing to do with it, but Eight Sleep solved that problem for us. it's a great bed that has different settings of temperature on either side. So yes, because she likes it warmer and I like it much cooler. And so now we have a bed to solve the problem. And so, you know,
and you just gave them $1 million worth of free advertising.
Yeah, there we go.
Well, there's compatibility in sleeping and lots of areas of sleeping, a fan being on, or what do I do if my spouse snores, or there's, you know, again, recreational compatibility, sexual compatibility, spiritual compatibility. Nowadays, something that unfortunately has grown is political compatibility. And this was really not on the landscape before. And it is now that there's some people that are very adamant. They're, you know, I will not date someone from the opposite party, which is unfortunate. But there's so many areas of what we have to look at: child rearing, making money, spending money. All these are real practical things which are included in the checklist. It's hard going through this. I don't know whether you guys had a chance to do that or not. It's, again, this is part of boot camp. It's hard. It's like, well, how much disposable money do I have to spend on what I want? How much should we save? How long should I stay out of work for if I have a child? Or should I stay out of work? Or who stays out of work? Or if, let's say, one person wants a job or gets a job somewhere else, am I supposed to leave, or what do we do about that? Or how do we raise our kids? Do we spank them? Do we not spank them? What religion do we raise them in? There's lots of things that people sometimes, you're right, we're afraid to look at.
Yeah.
That we're afraid to rock the boat. We found someone, things are going well, which is really kind of like, that's difficult. Finding someone to date is hard. Getting engaged is like, wow. Getting married is a miracle. It's like, wow. Now, staying married, that's a whole different issue. Because if I were to take a bet, unfortunately, of everyone getting married now, whether they're going to be married in 8 years, and bet against them, I'd be a billionaire. There's something that happens with couples, and this is a large part of the book, that we have something called an anchor reservoir, and there's a threshold here. And you get over threshold, boom, something's going to happen. Anger's got to come out. If it doesn't, you're going to be psychosomatic. You're going to be hypertense. You can be ulcerative or pre-ulcerative. If you are blocking the anger, this is what anxiety is. If I'm not afraid of something, anxiety is I'm angry and I'm blocking it. Depression is the anger is going back at me. What happens with a couple is we start out with a bonfire between people. I can only imagine the bonfire between you two as you two started to connect. It's a raging fire, and often it's very lust-filled with most people. In fact, it's said if you put 2 cents in a bell jar every time you make love, if you are, again, there's no religious mores against it, but when you start to make love, you put 2 cents in a bell jar every time you make love, for the first 2 years, and you take a penny out every time thereafter, you never run out of pennies in the bell jar. There's a raging fire at the beginning. And what happens when we don't deal with anger? It could be something slight, but it's like throwing a bit of dirt on that fire. And some life events are a backhoe on the fire. And some life events, like having an affair or a dump truck on the fire, the fire goes out and people go, I don't feel anything. I'm just angry. And that's what happens too often with too many people, is they're not dealing with their anger. They're not dealing with what makes them angry. They're not looking at how they contribute to the anger in the relationship. And that's really important. And again, what I'm saying, and you guys are hearing it loud and clear, it's hard. It's boot camp hard. I don't want to look at this. I have to deal with this and be honest. And here's the key word, honest and open and transparent. No, I don't believe in an honest, open, transparent relationship. I don't want to listen to this guy. And it's hard.
It is. Yeah. For one of the things that really helped me, because every day with Amber is the longest relationship I've ever had. Prior to Amber, I think the longest was like 3 months, and we're together for 9 years. So, you know, there's a big difference there for me personally. But one thing from the very beginning that Amber and I talked about was in our partnership, our goal is to pull the very best out of each other. And in return, we get the very best back. And so, and that's a beautiful equal return that grows us and moves us forward. And so the things that seemed hard for me in the beginning, talking about those things, viewing it from that perspective, that difficulty started to really fade away because I realized it was an investment in myself, it was an investment in her, and ultimately an investment in us. And so it became so natural. And because it pulled out the best of her, well, I got to benefit from that, right? And that's an amazing, that's so much more love. I can't even describe to you how much that's changed my life. And so naturally, I only want to do that for her. And so we build this beautiful symbiotic relationship that continues to grow, which allows that fire to continue to be a bonfire 9 years later.
Oh, that's just wonderful to hear. It's, you know, for a person to say, I want to facilitate bring out the best in you. And I really love you because I really feel you bring out the best in me. Now, again, I know that's my responsibility. It's so wonderful versus the opposite of that. What I find with some couples is that the most intimate statement a person can make is, I love you so much that I'm frightened of you, or I hate you because of how vulnerable I am to you, how much I let you control me. And I hate myself for putting myself in this vulnerable position. That's so different of being afraid of being vulnerable, of getting close versus, I love that you bring out the best in me. I love that I want to bring out the best in you. That's so well said. I wish I put it in the book.
Well, you can. Your next version.
not this time. But it's that kind of consideration. You know, we're talking about communication, transparency, openness, genuineness, and just taking the time like you guys did earlier with essence, looking at each other. And we have a support well. It always needs to get pumped up. And there's a threshold on this too. And I bet when we just did that little exercise, looking at each other and sharing your essence, I bet your well got pumped up.
Yes.
Is how to get that well pumped up. How to help your partner to help you explain to them, hey, I need this sometimes, or I don't need this sometimes. Also realizing, and this is really important, you don't expect them to pump up your well by themselves. You need to have other sources of support.
Yeah.
To have a healthy heart, you need to have, sometimes we CrossFit. In the same way, relationally, we need to have other sources of support. It's good to have main sources of support, sure. And it's good to have other ways to keep yourself fit.
Yeah. And one thing I really desire to put out there, like Austin and I spend a lot of time. It's like working out your body, right? We really spend a lot of time working out our connection. Mm-hmm. We do a lot of the practices that you talk about in relationship boot camp. We've built them into our relationship from the onset. Mm-hmm. We established personal boundaries and guiding principles so that we know where we stand individually, where we stand as a couple. We established communication. We understood what each other's trigger words were, so that we didn't inadvertently trigger each other by saying something that we didn't intend that might upset the other person. Mm-hmm. So communication is so important. And I know that's one of the things that you mention a lot in your book is how important just being on the same page is. And so I think we didn't get here by accident. It isn't right. Like we just connected and we got here by accident. And I think that that's so prevalent in your book. And I really want to point that out. It's not like we're just lucky and it magically happened.
No. You know, and I would think another real issue with you guys, you weren't 18 when you met. You had some sense of who you were. And again, what satisfied you in a relationship. And, you know, I resonate to what Austin said when he talked to you about essence, that I love your laughter and that you were smart. You could be intellectual. And I would think by the time Austin had met you, he probably knew that satisfies me. And when you see that in a person, I mean, whenever I would find someone that made me laugh, I mean, it was like, ding dong. It was like, oh, wow, you made me laugh. And that is just so wonderful. Because unfortunately, there are not a whole lot of people that I can say, you know, will make you laugh. There are too many game players out there that are doing things which, you know, I've had people, the younger people come up to me in the gym. They go, you know what you do to get a woman to fall in love with you? And I'll go, no, what? And this guy will say, don't show up for your second date. And I'm thinking, well, that's kind of gamey. You know, I mean, that gets into, you're going to be a challenge. You know, you're not being nice. And so some people are turned on by that. And those people who can only love you when you are the person who cares the least is the one in control. And so as long as they are not in control, they can love you. So if you don't show up for the second date, you're rejecting, you're hurting them. And so they will be turned on by that. You know, one of the things I also want to really point out in the book that I really want our listeners to think about is the difference between rejection and disappointment. That in order to get into boot camp, you're going to have to try a lot of things. You may approach people. It takes courage to approach people, same sex or opposite sex people. It takes less in some ways with our phones, the way these dating apps are. That's changed things. In fact, I just heard the comedian Bill Maher talk about how he hated these new dating apps because he thinks that it takes away that aspect of courage. But we need to have courage to be able to get involved with people. And a lot of people lack that. It's part of the process of getting to know someone that you're risking that they may not like you. They may be disappointing to you. They don't want to do that with you. Now, there's a difference, though, with rejection. Rejection is a person saying, you're a horrible, terrible person. Drop dead. I will never do anything with you. That's rejection. And there's a real difference there. And if you're going to go to boot camp, you're going to have to risk disappointment. And please don't see it as rejection. Approach people. They may not want to be approached. They may be having a bad day. It may have nothing to do with you. You know, there's a lyric by Joni Mitchell. My friends seem indifferent. I must have brought that on. Please don't think that way. If you want to have relationships, realize it's not always up to you. So much that we are into in our ego or our adult depends on the good rational self-talk we have. And that's a whole big issue.
Right. That's a great point about rejection. It's so easy to get in the habit through the ego to believe that our actions are our identity. And when we can have the awareness to step away from that and recognize that just because we take an action and maybe it's not well received, that that's not our identity, and nor should it fluctuate our identity in any way. We on a soul level aren't just aren't actions or one action or two actions or 10 actions. We can adjust our actions based on who we are. We can use it as a data point. We can use it as information. And so if we start to reframe rejection as informative, to realize like what you, I just think you just beautifully said, what if it had nothing to do with you? I feel like that's such a great question that I don't feel goes through a lot of people's heads and hearts when they do get rejected, because it's so easy. And I know I struggled with rejection a lot growing up, very insecure in that way, especially as an only child. I mean, I just, that was like a whole new thing when I wasn't well received in certain ways that I thought would be well received. And so I thought it was something was wrong with me. And until I realized that not every action is tied to the intention, and it's my responsibility to start learning how to tie my actions to my intention, utilizing great tools like communication, personal growth, self-awareness, and then now being able to have a partner that I can kind of walk through things and be vulnerable in that sense. Now, if for some reason, even with someone that I love immensely and the deepest love I've ever experienced, you know, not everything is well received. You know, like I could have said something that's, you know, might be rejected, but I don't view it that way anymore. I view it as a data point to be like, wow, okay. Yeah, just because I meant it this way and I said it that way and it was rejected, that's my opportunity to learn from it and restate it as kind of that sender of the information and say, okay, I can adjust this and see how that changes things.
Again, I think it's such an important topic when it stay with it of differentiating disappointment from rejection, because what happens, sometimes people react to things very subtly, nonverbals. And a person may send a nonverbal. And if a person is overly sensitive, and we could, I don't want to inject the word paranoid, but some people are paranoid traded. They pick up very, very subtle cues. But if you see a person's nonverbals and you interpret it as being rejecting, what a human being will do when they feel rejected is reject. What that the other person who wasn't aware they sent out any rejecting message will see is now overt rejection. And what will they do? They will reject. And so we start this dance of rejection without really realizing how we started. And so sometimes it's, this is again, being honest and transparent is like, can you be able to say, you know, when I said that, there you had a reaction to that. It disappointed me. And again, the difference between disappointment and rejection. To clarify that, because a lot of couples get into this ongoing dance of rejection. I'm rejecting you because you rejected me. We're going to have a bad day today because we had a bad day yesterday. And we're probably going to have a bad day tomorrow because we had a bad day today. It's like the best predictor of tomorrow is today unless we change things. And it's time not to carry things over. It's what we do in our personal lives. Unfortunately, we come up with life strategies, hypotheses by which to live life. We talk a lot about in the book. And unfortunately, these hypotheses or strategies are originated by us as children. Like I heard you say, I felt rejected as a child. Well, we learn different ways to cope with that when we're 6 and 7 years old. I've had 4 children who are grown now, but when they were 6 and 7, if I was 6 and 7, I wouldn't want to be formulating life hypotheses and strategies. And yet we do that and we carry it forward day by day because we had it when we were 6 and we had it the next day and the next day. And suddenly we're 25, 35, 40, 50, whatever. And we have the same life strategy, which doesn't work. And it hurts our heart. And it's time that you put adult eyes on it, get your ego involved, and re-examine your strategies. Sometimes there's a technique that I've used, don't use many techniques, of you as an adult, explain to that child, here's why you came up with a strategy. Here's why it doesn't work anymore. And I encourage our listeners to do that. It's like, I'm afraid to do these things. I'm afraid to do that because I learned a long time ago to have this strategy. Well, it's time to reevaluate that. And that's hard. That's part of boot camp. It's hard doing this to look at, I avoid people in this way. Or some people learn the very maladaptive strategy of having addiction, substance abuse, to self-medicate. They did it for various reasons. It's time, once the disease is activated, it's not easy getting over an addiction. We could spend hours talking about addiction. I do a lot of addiction work. But I'll give you one example of a strategy. When I was on internship at LA County Hospital, University of Southern California Med Center, there's a child that banged his head against the wall. People were perplexed. Why is this child doing that? And what we found out is the child had an abusive father, physically abusive. And when the father came to beat the child would beat his head against the wall, and the father would say he's crazy and left him alone. That's the kind of strategy. That's a very overt example. Most aren't that explicit of a strategy that doesn't work. But I really challenge people to look at, what are your life strategies? I heard you guys say, well, I would like to bring out the best. Good strategy. Maybe couples can sit down and, what strategy do you want to have together? What strategy do I want to have as an individual? And not make it, oh, I want to be a millionaire or do this, but I want to make my partner smile. I want to bring out the best in them. Some of the things we just discussed today.
I love it. And what a great place to wrap up. I know we could talk about this for a long time, and we'll just have to bring you back so we can continue these deep dives.
Oh, it'd be my pleasure. Thank you for having me. It's such a pleasure seeing you guys.
Likewise. Now, for individuals who would like to get a copy of Relationship Bootcamp and start their own navigation through Bootcamp, where can they find it? How can they get a copy? And if they have questions for you, are you open to receiving questions, and how can they get a hold of you?
Relationship Bootcamp, and my last name is Jerry Heisler, H-E-I-S-L-E-R. If you go on Amazon and put in Relationship Bootcamp Heisler, I know you're going to come right to the source of the book. I still have Relationship Bootcamp on Meta, on Facebook, where people could message me. And I welcome people to send same messages my way. You guys must get lots of messages too. Some things are,
how we do.
I'm laughing. I'm just like, yeah, please send your same messages my way. That's fine.
It's when you bring humor.
Absolutely.
Yeah, make me laugh. There you go.
Exactly.
And we'll make sure to have links below in the description to your book, just to make it really easy, so people can get right to it.
Yes.
It's wonderful spending time with you guys. Like I said, it's nice seeing a happy, functional couple. So much of my work was with people, you know, on the verge of getting divorced, or so it's nice seeing healthy things.
Well, thank you. Thank you for the contribution to help individuals be proactive in creating healthy relationships and getting in to examine so they can build healthy relationships from the inside. I think that's a key component.
Right.
Well, thank you for giving me the opportunity.
Of course. And what one of the things I really love about what you offer is we understand in business that the key to scaling is simplicity. And what you do, like if our goal is to kind of scale our relationship and have it long term, then we need to focus on the simple things. And you provide things in terms of checklists and the way that you approach it. You make it very simple and repeatable and therefore scalable. So thank you for presenting it in that way, because I feel like that makes it less of a roadblock and kind of just gives you that easy way to say, okay, I can just get started today. Doing a checklist is about as basic as it gets, but it also can be so impactful and so powerful. So thank you for presenting it in that way.
Well, thank you. That's very kind of you to say that, Austin. Thank you.
And thank you, amazing Suivera community, for joining us on another episode of the Heart Leader Podcast, where heart and mind align. So grateful to have these wonderful gentlemen join today. Don't forget, the entire month is all dedicated toward ego. So you can head on over to suivera.org and request to get our ego alignment journal, or you can just go onto social media and direct message us a line, and we'll make sure that the link gets sent right to you. We also have this wonderful membership program that you can investigate on suivera.org. We are going to get access to so many wonderful things. So take a moment, head on over there and check it out, because we have a cooking show out there now,
yes,
which
do.
Is fantastic. Until next time, I look forward to seeing you in the Suivera community. Thank you for listening to the Heart Leader Podcast. Are you ready to start leading from the heart? Visit theheartleaderpodcast.com to take our quiz and get your personalized roadmap for a happier and healthier life. Remember to follow the podcast so you never miss a new episode. And be sure to recommend it to your friends who might enjoy it with you. See you next week.